Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. But first, Andy, let's do a review of the news. The big news this week, we're going to be at full capacity for games in the fall at Beaver Stadium. No other way to look at that but fantastic news.
So in June, that is the plan, is to, you know, they hyped it 107K strong. Of course, the Penn State, you know, social media and stuff was just filled with cool looking graphics. And yes, that appears to be where the university, led by athletic director Sandy Barber, that is their primary goal, right? But let's not forget, even though we're in a good spate right now, I still think, as I said last week, a plan B and a plan C, and I said last week it would be more surprising to me if the stadium was half full than it was all full, and then it turns out a week later they're going to go, the goal is to go all full. I think it's viable. I just think they need to keep their options open. There's a lot of changes that are going to probably have to be in place. I think touchless, everything on your phone so that people aren't touching, you know, the connection, the human connection part of it will be a big part of what Penn State has to work through. But that is their goal. That is exciting. It was just weird seeing Beaver Stadium, you know, basically empty and football games being played. It was weird across the board, but it was particularly eerie there because the vibe and that place is all about atmosphere. I mean, let's be honest. Beaver Stadium isn't, you know, one of those marquee stadiums because it's a beautiful stadium. It's a marquee stadium because of the feats in the seats and the people make it so. So I'm excited to see the fact that Penn State, James Franklin, that team, the university and its fans get the opportunity to attend games again.
And you also have to make note of, Andy, this isn't just about football. This is about the state college community, the state college economy. This is about Penn State fans getting there. The tailgating is almost, if not more important than the game itself. It's an event. The whole weekend is an event. So to have that back in place, it's huge. Now, you made mention of the facility itself not being beautiful. Well, there was also some talk this week of upgrades to the facilities. The Lash Building, which is the football building, that's going to happen. It's going to happen right away. That's an upgrade. That's the arms race in college football and college football recruiting. Yep. The other part was a consultant has been brought on discussing what to do as far as upgrading Beaver Stadium itself. What direction are they going to head there, Andy?
So let's start with the Lash Building first. Let's talk about that. That is, they've been sort of, I'd say the last 3 or 4 years, they've been sort of henpicking at it in phases, right? Like it's been a phased process. Well, they're done phasing. They're going to start at the end of the 21 season. The goal is to be done by the beginning of the 22, before the 2022 season. That's taken sort of the final two stages, which who knows how long that would have taken. They just accelerated the timeline on that, right? In terms of Beaver Stadium, I think it's they are going to study it. They kicked that to the curb. In other words, that's the long range. That's the long game, right? The short game is the Lash Building. The long game is the stadium. And the interesting thing about, I want to talk about Beaver Stadium, and I hinted at it a few minutes ago, was this is one of the unique college football stadiums where it, you know, it's, for lack of a better term, it's an ugly duckling, right? When you look at it as a Penn State fan, you're like, well, it's a beautiful landmark. But as college football stadiums go on campuses, it's a bit of an ugly duckling because of the way it's been built and renovated. That doesn't mean it's a bad stadium. It's just, it's not about the stadium itself. It's about what that stadium creates, right? So I think Penn State will walk cautiously and forward. It is the 107,000 people. It is the whiteout. It is the atmosphere. It is the tailgating. It is the small town feel with a big time football game. All of that has to remain important to Penn State, and I think it will be part of this study. But to think that you change Beaver Stadium by changing the cosmetic look at it, the identity of Beaver Stadium is what happens inside on a game day. What that stadium turns into on that day, who cares what it looks like, right? I mean, you're a Penn State fan, and you've been to other stadiums, and you're like, yeah, that's a nice stadium, but it's not Beaver Stadium. Well, yeah, it's the other one that you thought at another campus, you'd say, well, that is a better looker stadium, but it's not Beaver Stadium. That's the charm of Beaver Stadium. It's one of the most unique places to go see a college football game in the country for a lot of reasons. And the last one is the Beaver Stadium and what it is. It's what happens inside Beaver Stadium that has mattered so much more. And I don't think Penn State will ever, ever leave that behind or forget about it. But they are going to look at it as what they can do in the next 25 years, not the last 25 years going forward.
You make an important point, Andy, that it's not the structure itself that makes it special. It's the fans. It's the atmosphere, both inside the stadium and outside the stadium. But where I think they're smart is also looking at it is it's fine when there's a whiteout and a big game and Ohio State's in town, you have 107,000 people there. You don't always have 107,000 there. And it's going to be interesting after a COVID year, will all the fans come back or will they say, like in the rest of our society, some of the habits might change? And what you also have is fans thinking, you know what, I've got the big screen TV at home, I'll just watch it there. The other part with Beaver Stadium that people may not see is the infrastructure, the plumbing and all of that. And they can't use it after November. You know, there's always been talk of the hockey game, the outdoor hockey game the NHL does. Wouldn't it be fantastic to have the Penguins and Flyers in the center of the state? Well, you're not going to do that on January 1st at Beaver Stadium because the infrastructure isn't there for it. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what they decide to do. And I know if it comes down to, upgrade the stadium versus a new stadium, some people will say, it's Beaver Stadium. Well, you can't replace it. Yeah, you can. The atmosphere. Go ahead. You wanted to add something?
So the thing I want to say, I think the renovation of Beaver Stadium will be looking at the next 25 years like you talk about. Bigger events, concerts. Can they host concerts, in April, right? Can they host an NHL game like that? And could the, Penn State hockey team play a game there, for example, double down and get a college hockey game there? I think this renovation comes from the inside out. It reminds me, in my mind, I picture it like the Rose Bowl, right? Like the Rose Bowl stadium in Pasadena went through a complete renovation. Yes, but it was an inside out renovation. Yes, they cosmetically changed the way the bowl looks on the inside and upgraded it. But you know what? The bowl still looks exactly the same as it did in 1979 to a large degree. They upgraded everything from the inside out, and I think that would serve Penn State well because the inside doesn't need any work on football Saturdays. Doesn't need any work. It's already got everything you could hope for.
Well, what will be interesting to see, and this is the other part to it, that the stadium itself is kind of built in sections. They could literally do the north end, the south end, the east, the west, piecemeal, kind of like what they did when they put the suites in. They didn't really do anything to the stadium. They built suites that essentially went behind the stadium. And just one last quick note, for those fans who may not realize this, there's a tremendous history to Beaver Stadium. It was on the opposite side of campus years and years ago and was called Beaver Field. They literally, when they couldn't expand it there, they took the stadium apart, dismantled it, and put it back together and expanded it on the east side of campus where it is now. There was also another upgrade. If you ever see the stadium empty, you'll see after so many rows, there's like a difference in the stadium itself. They literally lifted up the stadium and placed bleachers in underneath because there used to be a running track around the field, which they got rid of when they got the new track in. So there's a really fascinating history to the stadium itself. For those young fans who don't know anything about it, look it up. It is very interesting. One more note, Andrew. We are now into June, and that means is recruiting visits, on-campus visits have returned, and it's craziness at Penn State, but it's also craziness everywhere around the country. Here's my question to you. How important is this that we're going to have this crazy June, or what are going to be the repercussions? Are we going to see a rush of commits? Are we going to see a rush of decommits? What's going to happen?
So in terms of the re-engaging of the recruiting process at this level, my first thought is it's pump the brakes, right? To me, this feels like it's pump the brakes. The in-person visit for, in terms of Penn State football with James Franklin as this, you know, the head coach, the face-to-face ability to have Coach James Franklin and a recruit have a face-to-face meeting and a full visit like you kind of remember it, it's an asset for Penn State. I said that last week. Let's just clear that up. But I don't expect a lot of commitments to come. I also don't expect a lot of decommitments. I think this process has to work itself out. That's just my opinion. It's kind of getting back to normal, but the recruiting process is an evolving, fast-moving beast. And I think it had become more engaging as a virtual tool now that you can do in person. It has to re-engage. So I think having wild expectations for Penn State's going to sign 5 to 7 guys just because they get to do in-person visits, I think that's a crazy expectation. Pump the brakes and slow down.
And remember that these players who could now visit Penn State, they could also visit other schools.
Absolutely.
So if you're a player who had been waiting to do visits, it may not be a case that you're waiting just to visit Penn State. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around for Tucker's Take.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.